This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Chua An Teck. I have in the studio with me Nick Nasmi, Nick Ahmad and Yi Siu Ming, the co-authors of a new coffee table book titled Reformasi, The Struggle Continues, 1998 to 2015. Yi Siu Ming is until 2014, Vice Chief of PKR Kelantan Division, and YB Nick Nasmi is the Seri Setia State Assemblyman, PKR Youth Chief, as well as the Selangor State Exco for Education, Human Capital Development, Science, Technology, and Innovation. That is a mouthful. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks. Good,
thank you.
Reformasi was a landmark moment in the Malaysian political scene. It was definitely my first political memory. Maybe we can start on a personal note, Siu Ming. What did Reformasi mean to you at the time?
Well, Reformasi started in 1998, and it was from the sacking of Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim. And I, had always a strong sense of, my parents taught me that when something was wrong or when there's somebody is being marginalized or oppressed, to stand up for that. And so I joined the movement and got in the streets and, tried to do something.
YB Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I think for many of us, I was very young. I was 16 at that time. I did not have the opportunity to go to the streets, but I followed it from afar with my family. For us, it was, I think, a pivotal moment because for so long, Malaysian politics was dominated by race or religion. But Reformasi allowed us to go beyond that, but look at fundamental issues of justice, civil liberties, and human rights.
Did you know what the goals were of Reformasi beyond the sacking of Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, beyond the calling of a general sense of reform to the establishment?
Well, yes, it was very loose at the beginning. It was a rainbow coalition of political parties and NGOs that started. I think a pivotal part of it was the Permatang Pau Declaration by Anwar Ibrahim. And this was in his tour across the country before he was arrested, where he laid out principles which would later inspire Parti Keadilan Nasional and later Parti Keadilan Rakyat. So I think, those became our reference points that this movement, although it involved, for example, a lot of Islamic NGOs, but it had a very multiracial and multicultural outlook, and that was one of the things that appealed to me as a young Malaysian.
I think at that time, Reformasi was a people's movement, and that the atmosphere at that time was one of very oppressive, and things when it was not. When there was an idea of civil liberties, rule of law, the people just took to it, naturally, and just, ran with it. And so, it's birthed into different things today, but started then.
It's 17 years now. Why the idea of a coffee table book this moment in time?
Well, for me, there are two reasons. One is, my friendship with Nick Nasmi, 10 over years, and we got involved in local politics, found a common ground in serving the community. And he's a prolific writer. I can't do anything, so I just make a picture book. but we wanted to do a project together, and so we did this. The second thing, I think, is that people have forgotten what it was like in 98. And so a picture book communicates the emotions and the feelings really well about, and the young people today don't know what 98 was like. This is in a way to bring that back to that time.
17 years, it's hard to condense everything into a 200-page book. What did you want to emphasize, and how did you go about sourcing those pictures?
Well, I think both the idea that things have changed, but there are also things that have remained the same. Things have changed in the sense that before this, it was more a movement of protest. Now we have matured. We are in power in a few state governments. We won the popular vote in the last general elections. And it's a much more multiracial and broader movement than what it was. At the same time, the limitations on our liberties, the suppression and all that is in fact similar. So I think, so that was what I tried to convey doing this coffee table book. And yeah, I mean, it wasn't easy, especially trying to find the earlier pictures. We are very lucky that we are partnering this with Center for Reform, because they bought the rights for some of the earlier pictures from the foreign wires. Otherwise, we had to source it from friends and party leaders and family photos. Mm-hmm. And this was before the digital camera, you know. So it was very difficult to do that. But I think it's important because for the younger people to, you know, especially the Bersih generation, to understand that, you know, their movement is actually a continuation of something that has happened earlier.
The cover of the book, for listeners who can't see, it's a picture of Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim. This was at the rally in held in Kelana Jaya after the May 13 general election. And he's looking downwards. He's somewhat deep in thought, solemn, almost a hint of dejection. Is this emblematic of the Reformasi movement? Is this the mood that you wanted to convey to the reader?
I think it's it was a time when certainly, you know, we didn't get what we want fully, but I think it's really to show a man that's deep in thought, but you know, that the Reformasi movement was really birthed from the time in 98. But when you think about it, he's controversial. You know, some people like him, some people don't. But he's quite a guy. I mean, you know, in 2004 he was released. He managed to unite the opposition and inspire the nation by 2008 went into elections and denied the Barisan Nasional 2/3 majority. When at that time the opposition was in a fray, it was in, you know, not united, but he managed to do that. So it's quite an amazing feat, I think. So that's why, I guess, you know, when we started the project, we made it clear that we wanted it to be bigger than Anwar. Reformasi is bigger than Anwar, bigger than Pakatan Rakyat, bigger. And so it was. But at the end of the day, we realized it was Datuk Sri Anwar Ibrahim. You know, it came back to him because of 98, I think, and because of all that he's, you know, he's been through and that he's done. So
that's a common criticism, isn't it, on why we need the media, or maybe even your opponents tend to paint it as one man's vehicle to further his agenda. How do you respond to criticism like that?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we've seen Malaysian history has proven that Reformasi, yes, it started from the sacking of Anwar, but it has gone beyond that. I mean, Anwar used the opportunity to grow the movement, to totally change the course of Malaysian politics. I mean, he could have easily not do anything, you know, after being sacked. He could have easily joined PAS or Parti Rakyat, the existing opposition political parties, or even DAP. But I know that the first two offers were there, you know,
even
joining
back to
PAS.
Arno, yeah, really yeah. Far, yeah.
But he instead chose to build a new movement. And in fact, you know, the late Allah Yarham Ustaz Fazil Noor from PAS was firmly in the belief that he should do so because of his broad appeal. And, you know, build a new multiracial political movement. And we've known that there have been many other attempts to do so in the country's history. It's not new. But Keadilan, PKR, has been the most successful multiracial political party. And it's a child of Reformasi. So I think that is something that we must give credit to at a time when so many politicians choose the easy route of racial politics in order to further themselves.
So when you did reference earlier on that this was the first event that you actively participated, but what was your political awakening? What got you involved in politics?
Well, as you know, right now I'm a pastor, and so I think my convictions is really that from that point of view that when there is injustice or when there's unrighteousness, or it's my conviction that I stand up for it and do something about it. And so it's really about the kingdom value or the, you know, Christ values that I live out today. And so when this happened, I just thought it was injustice and I just need to do something.
Nick, were you a very political person even before Reformasi?
I was, and I think interestingly enough, I mean, I think the foundations of my friendship with Siew Ming is pretty much that both of us come from relatively religious backgrounds. I come from a very religious Muslim family, and I had earlier political awakenings, and one of the most significant books for me was the autobiography of Malcolm X. And he started off responding to white supremacy by being a black nationalist, extreme black nationalist. But later on, after becoming a proper Muslim and performing the Hajj and seeing Muslims of different races together, he turned and changed into a proper, you know, a person who believed in multiracialism. So I think that was something which was profound for me because, you know, I... living in a majority Muslim country that is multiracial, yet I do not see that element of Islam, that justice being promoted. And until 1998, then I saw that here this was a political movement that gave me the opportunity to realize those values.
I'm speaking today to Yee Siew Ming and YB Nick Nazmi Nick Ahmad, co-authors of a new coffee table book, Reformasi, The Struggle Continues, 1998 to 2015. After the break, I'll ask them how has the movement evolved over the years as well as its lasting achievement, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon and welcome to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Chuan Tik. If you have just joined us, in the studio with me today, two guests, Yee Siew Ming, as well as YB Nick Nazmi Nick Ahmad. Yee Siew Ming is currently a pastor, former vice chief of PKR Kelana Jaya, YB Nick Nazmi, Sri Setia State Assemblyman since 2008, PKR Youth Chief, as well as currently the Selangor State Exco for Education, Human Capital Development, Science, Technology and Innovation. That is a very long title, YB Nick. What do you actually do on a day-to-day basis?
Yes, I think the title can be more glamorous than what the job entails. But at the Selangor State Government, I'm basically in charge of the education, human capital and science, technology, innovation portfolio. But a lot of it has to do with education, revolves around education. Although, as you are aware, education is a federal matter. So we try to play our role with independent schools, with vernacular schools, religious schools. But I can't walk into a government national school, for example, or even a university for that. I've got into trouble for that, and except for our own state university or private universities. So that's my government role. And otherwise, at the party level, I head the party youth wing, trying to fulfill the aspiration of the young members of the party and reach out to the younger voters.
As you referenced before the break, the Reformasi movement is now no longer in its infancy. It's 17 years now, and it's matured. And now a lot of you are in power, in government. Has it changed your attitude towards politics?
Well, I think, as always, there will be differences when you are a movement of protest, especially for someone like me. I guess there were people in Reformasi who had experience in government before, you know, including Dato Sri Anwar and all that. But for someone like me who started off, I was never in any other party, so starting off being in a movement of protest, then being in power, you do realize that there are things that are different the way you look from outside and inside. But essentially, the fundamental values that even when you have power, you want to reform the establishment, you want to make it to serve the needs of the people, those things remain the same.
Assuming you are ostensibly on the outside now, to a lot of people, they see what's happening with Pakatan, and there's a lot of similarity to the highs of what happened immediately after Reformasi, right? There was a coalition pact called the Parisan Alternative, and it seems like a lot of the same mistakes were being repeated. How do you talk to voters or supporters on the outside who are disappointed with how things has evolved and developed?
Yeah, I think having been in the inside, I mean, you know, and sitting in some of the meetings and in our Kelana Jaya office, and I think it's on the outside, it's you don't see a lot of things that happen in the inside, in that sense that there's a lot of camaraderie. I think it's maybe blown up, or you know, you. But when the inside, when you're sitting in, and I recall just sitting in some of the Chabang meetings, you know, and I just take a step back and look across the table, and I see Indians, Malays, Chinese, and we sit down and we talk about the issues of the community, we talk about the problems and we try to resolve them, and I said, I recall very clearly in my mind, wow, this is Malaysia. It's quite amazing that we can all sit down at one table and talk about the issues, you know, and try to resolve them together. Yeah, there were, of course, there were like, you know, mosque issues and temple issues, and but we could sit down at the table to discuss. And so on the inside, there's a lot of working together and camaraderie, which maybe on the outside we don't see. So I think that's the beauty of Keadilan and you know, the multiracialness of it.
YB Nick, maybe you can give us an insider's perspective. Why does it look like that from the outside?
Well, I think the challenge since the beginning of our country's history, because of our unique nature, is that there has to be, there is an imperative for a coalition in the country. That's why the alliance and later BN worked so well, because they realized that in order to bridge the contradictions of the country. Even the opposition started off, in fact, before the alliance with AMCJA Putra on the left. Then later there was Barisan Socialist, Gagasan Rakyat, APU, and Barisan Alternative, and Pakatan. But the failure of it, especially if you look between 1990 to 2000, the latest one, is the inability to bridge between the religious and the secular. And there's always this, this obsession with trying to have one over the other. And I, this is my personal view, is that we must find a way that can bridge these two things. If you look at our constitution, how we achieve independence, it was achieved in a way that bridged these contradictions. And I think if we can do so, and we have to do so, in order to have a successful two coalition system in the country, we must be able to grasp these things. So I think and. I look at the latest developments. You know, we have this new pact called Harapan, which encompasses Keadilan, DAP, as well as Amanah, which is the progressive wing of PAS. So I think this is a more workable model. But definitely, I mean, we need to have that progressive Islamic element within the coalition. Without them, I was just back from Kelantan. You know, you need to have people who can address the issues of the state. I mean, it looks very different from KL and Shah Alam, and they are as much as voters, as just as in Sabah and Sarawak and other parts of Malaysia. So we need to be able to bridge those gaps.
Should voters be expecting three cornered fights in the next elections?
Well, what we are trying to do now, I mean, as much as, the first meeting, I mean, I think PAS chose not to come and they remain non-committal. I think we also have a bottom line that there might be a formula where there is a strong coalition at one level with a common understanding, council, presidential councils, and all that, and policies. But we might also have a looser coalition with other parties in order to guarantee a one-on-one fight at all levels, because I think that's the bottom line ultimately.
Assuming 17 years later, how has the goals of reformasi changed?
It's matured, and so it's taken on different names, different forms, different interest groups against. At that one time it was against ISA, Makal Sakti, per se today, but basically it's still the same in that it's reformasi is still calling for a people's movement for greater civil liberties and the rule of law, greater democratic space, and so it's the people's call, since 98 for these things, to fight for these things. Yeah.
Do you think it's at a crossroad, as what YB Nick was saying, how it's hard to reconcile between the religious and the secular, and the doctrine for the past 5 to 8 years, agreeing to disagree, eventually brought what we have today?
I think it's progressing. It's actually it's evolving, according to the situation. But it's progressing, and the like I said, the rallying call is still the same, you know, civil liberties, greater democratic space, and the rule of law.
What would you like readers to get from this book then?
First of all, I think that there were people who gave up quite a bit in that reformacy movement. And so this book was really also to honor some of the reformists who sacrificed a lot, sacrificed their time, their careers, even some lost their businesses. And so the book was really to honor them as well as Datuk Sri Anwar. And I mean, personally also, I think I learned that that sometimes when we do something small or seeming insignificant has great repercussions 15 years later. Some of the things that the people did then have great repercussions today, and they may not have seen it back then, but today it's, you know, it's grown to a strong people's movement.
YB Nick, I'll let you have the last word. What final message would you like to leave, and what do you hope this book would achieve?
Well, I think this book, I hope, will convey the message that, as Siew Meng said just now, that ultimately this movement is about being optimistic about the future. Mm. You cannot believe in changing the country if you're not optimistic. Mm-hmm. It's just easy to give up and be cynical about everything. So I think that's one big message. And you know, once you realize how far we have progressed since 1998, in spite of, you know, all the similar limitations and hurdles that we continue to face, then I think we can take heart on that. Mm. At the same time, I think as much as we continue to say that, you know, this is, we want to tell people that it's beyond Anwar Ibrahim, at the same time, let's not forget, I mean, the high price that he has had to pay and continues to pay. I mean, he's back. I mean, that's why we took so long to do this book, over a year, because we had to wait for the trials to conclude, because we felt that it would be a bit funny without waiting for the trials to conclude. And true enough, I mean, he was then put in jail again, and now at a far more advanced age. So I think that is a price that he paid for really pushing the country to this level. And I think ultimately this book is in honor of him and all those who sacrifice in great and small contributions for the struggle, the reformists.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to YB Nick Nasmi, Nick Ahmad, and Yi Siew Meng, co-authors of a new coffee table book, Reformacy, The Struggle Continues, 1998 to 2015, which is available for purchase now online at sepakat.org. That is sepakat.org. You've been listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.